Good morning, this is Linda, and I'll be reading to you the Bloomington Normal Pantograph for today's date, March 17th, 2017. We will begin reading this morning with a story on the front page titled, Airport Considering Taxing Beyond Bloomington Normal. McLean County property owners outside the Twin Cities soon may pay taxes for Central Illinois Regional Airport, too. The Bloomington Normal Airport Authority, which runs CIRA, is considering a reorganization that would mean lower property tax payments from Bloomington Normal offset by new payments from the rest of the county. The owner of a Bloomington Normal home valued at $150,000 would pay $20 less in property taxes to the airport, and the owner of a home elsewhere in the county valued at $150,000 would pay a first-of-its-kind tax of $47, according to minutes from the BNAA's January 26th Board of Commissioners meeting. We want revenue sources that would be more stable and less volatile, said CIRA Executive Director Carl Olson. When you look at the increased uncertainty with funding streams in place for generations from the federal government and state, this is a precautionary measure. The move also is aimed at expanding the Airport Authority's tax base beyond the corporate limits, reflecting the airport's regional economic value and taxing equity, according to the minutes. That would make it easier for the authority to borrow money, Olson added. The Airport Authority began discussing the issue after the Federal Aviation Administration threatened in 2013 to stop offering air traffic control services at CIRA, Olson said. That would have required the airport to take on an unexpected cost of several hundred thousand dollars. The authority hopes to make the change through state legislation. The office of then-Illinois Governor Pat Quinn, a Democrat, shot down the concept in fall of 2015, according to the minutes, but officials hoped to get it approved by the legislature in the spring and signed by Republican Governor Bruce Rauner this summer. State Senator Jason Barrickman, Republican from Bloomington, said the timing of the tax increase would be driven by any legislative decisions. He is in touch with the airport about a bill and plans to host a meeting soon with stakeholders, including the McLean County Farm Bureau. Quote, as a representative of probably 65% of the farmers and farmland owners in the county, we do not see this as a positive move for the taxpayers in the rural community. We want it not to happen, end quote, said Farm Bureau Manager Mike Schwartz, but there's nothing specific yet for us to address. The authority is consulting Springfield law firm Henshaw and Culbertson on how to proceed. Officials have declined to release records that specifically detail those conversations. Our office expects to know more by the end of next week in terms of this moving forward or not, Olson said. Olson cited Peoria Airport, DuPage Airport, and Crawford County Airport as facilities that have benefited from similar changes. It goes toward enhancing our competitive position, he said. Our next article is titled, Every Ounce of Faith, and that's done in quotes, colon, BHS sends team off in style out of Bloomington. For Chris Payton, it's not about if the Bloomington High School boys basketball team wins the state championship, it's when. I knew we would get here. Now it's just about how we complete the mission, said Payton, a BHS sophomore and member of the team. We've been building up the expectation of winning the state championship, and the students and fans expect us to complete this. The team will tip off at 11 a.m. Friday in the Class 3A State Tournament semifinal against Oak Park Fenwick at Carver Arena in Peoria. This is the first time in 42 years the Purple Raiders have made the state finals, and the school has been buzzing with excitement all week. Thursday morning, students, faculty, and the marching band packed the BHS Student Center. The band sent a fight song booming through the room as fans formed a cheering tunnel for the departing athletes. Senior cheerleading captain Hosiah Jones could be seen in the center of the crowd dancing and clapping during the team's exit. I've been following the team all year. I knew it would be a great season, said Jones. I have every ounce of faith that they will do well because of all the effort they have put in. Sophomore Derek Lewis was also thrilled to send the team to victory. They're my homies, and they've been grinding all summer, said Lewis. They put Bloomington on the map, and I had to be here to send them off. Senior basketball player Dazon Ferris said he could feel the love from the school. The fans, students, and staff have been supporting us through all we're doing, said Ferris. I'm not nervous. I've been playing basketball for 14 years. This feels like a regular day to me. Senior Jordan Peterson is dating team player and junior Colton Sandage. She said a large group of student fans will be at Friday's game. I don't think any team deserves this more, said Peterson. They are the best players and we have the best student section. It's not just about being the loudest section. We support them. Junior drum player Brian Jome said it feels amazing to use music to cheer his peers on to the state finals. The music we play at games really hypes everyone up, said Jones. Said Jome. All the kids in the student section are there to help the team win. I think we give them more motivation. Game tickets went on sale at the BHS Athletic Office Wednesday morning, and sales have been nonstop since, said Crystal Curry, administrative assistant to the athletic director. Nearly 600 tickets were sold by Thursday morning. When we showed up at 7 a.m. Wednesday, there was already a line forming. Even people from local rival schools have stopped by to buy tickets, said Curry. While waiting in line for a ticket, senior cheerleader Danny Lamb said school support for the team this season has been inspiring, especially at away games. There were more people in the stands who wanted to see the boys play. In class, the game is being talked about and everyone encourages the players, said Lamb. Nate Giles of Bloomington stopped by the athletic office to buy a stack of tickets for himself and his friends for the weekend games. I've been to 4 or 5 BHS games this season. They're a good team and they're fun to watch, said Giles. I didn't grow up here or go to BHS, but I live in the community now, and it's great to see everyone rally around this team. BHS Athletic Director Tony Ballman said that's the kind of community excitement he likes to see. It's something you try to build through school athletics, that pride and spirit, said Ballman. Moments like this really help the students and the community. Okay, so that concludes that article. Our next article will be titled, Restaurants to Open at Wild Berries Site This Fall. As many as 4 restaurants could open up at a strip mall on the former Wild Berries site this fall. The land has sat unused since Wild Berries closed in July of 2015, but Chicago-based Tartan Realty Group, which bought it that October and demolished the restaurant, plans to break ground on a 4-unit building there next month, said Tartan President Doug Reike on Thursday. The building at 115 Veterans Parkway would be done in October. When asked which tenants would use it, Reichel said, nothing has been signed. During a normal Zoning Board of Appeals meeting, Reichel said the building is more or less restricted to restaurants by the shops at College Hills, and he hopes to secure a breakfast restaurant to be one of the 4. Tartan received variances from the board to have a dumpster next to Baxter Drive and to have less landscaping than required by code. Board member Janet Hood voted against the variances. Staff has concerns that a dump truck or garbage collection vehicle happens to be rolling through at midday at lunchtime. It could be problematic and get stuck there for a while, said Inspections Director Greg Trommel of the dumpster. We prefer not to have dumpsters adjacent to a public street, but trucks do it every day. Reichel said garbage collection would happen in the morning when traffic on Baxter is low. The landscaping requirement, Trommel said, was violated because Tartan wants to put 81 parking spaces by the strip mall rather than the 47 mandated by code. Because there are more spaces, more landscaping would be necessary. Reichel said Tartan would lose 5 spaces by moving the dumpster and 8 by adding landscaping, and 81 parking spaces is probably not enough. We have explored a number of opportunities, and I think I have arrived at a strip center in large part because the national chain tenants, freestanding restaurants all came back that it was underparked, Reichel said. 80 parking spaces for 2 full-service restaurants is nowhere near adequate. He added Tartan tried to reach a deal to use Shops or Van Maur spaces as overflow parking, but failed. The bottom line is, if people park in Van Maur parking lot, it's not like the local people will be concerned, Trommel said. The site was slated to be used by Portillo's, but the Chicago-style hot dog chain wanted more parking than was available. Officials hoped to demolish the Mandarin Garden restaurant and replace it with parking, but that plan hit an unidentified roadblock last May. Tartan previously developed sites for Red Robin, Chick-fil-A, Blaze, and Chipotle restaurants near the Wildberries site. Reichel said he also can't reveal who will use the first floor of the one uptown on the Circle building, slated to be restaurant. That project is on track to be finished in October as well. And that concludes this article. Our next article is titled, University of Illinois Financial Aid Would Support In-State Students. This is out of Springfield. The University of Illinois would reserve 85% of its financial aid growth for Illinois residents as part of a proposed 5-year state funding agreement being considered in the legislature. Legislators introduced the financial aid measure Thursday as an amendment to the pending investment. Performance and Accountability Committee funding... I'm sorry, let's read that sentence again. Legislators introduced the financial aid measure Thursday as an amendment to the pending Investment Performance and Accountability Commitment funding legislation. The legislation would give the university predictable funding in exchange for meeting benchmarks. University President Tim Killeen on Wednesday called the Invest in Illinois measure an effort to keep Illinois high school graduates in-state for college and stem a growing loss of students to out-of-state schools. Killeen said the university would commit at least $170 million a year for the next 5 years to students from Illinois, the Champaign News-Gazette reports. The $170 million isn't new money. It is an amount the university already gives to in-state students, but university officials said the school would use that figure as a base and moving forward would reserve 85% of any growth in financial aid resources for in-state students. Based on the $170 million figure, in-state students would receive $850 million in financial aid over 5 years, something Killeen calls unprecedented in our 150-year history. School officials said the financial aid would be in the form of merit-based and need-based grants. Killeen said the in-state financial aid hinges on the pending funding legislation because financial aid could go down if the legislation isn't approved or if state funding declines. Under the legislation, university-based funding would be $647 million and afterward would rise by the rate of inflation. The university says that in 2015, 45% of high school students who graduated in Illinois and were bound for college went to schools out of state. That number was 29% in 2002. That concludes that article, and our next article is titled, Downs and Church Disagree Over Road Improvements. And this comes to you out of Downs. The construction of a new Downs church continues as village officials and church leaders iron out their differences about who should pay for the improvement of a road near the site. Living Hope Christian Church is relocating from 211 South Seminary Street to a site on 30 acres at the southwest corner of US 150 and North 2000 East Road, northwest of Downs. The site was annexed into the city 3 years ago, but Mark Moore, a senior pastor at the church, said the village made amendments to the original annexation agreement that were not approved by the church. It's really a simple question of figuring out what is binding and what is not, Moore said. We are working with the village, and the village is working with us, and everyone wants to find a reasonable solution. The point of contention is a proposed upgrade to Huff Road that leads to the Beecher Trails subdivision. We offered to help with the upgrades to make it a safe road, but now they want us to rebuild the whole road with curbs and gutters, Moore said. That's about $80,000 worth of work. The church had promised to contribute $28,000 toward road improvements. There have been no lawsuits filed, and the village board is expected to discuss the issue again April 13th. We are currently engaged in meetings with the church, and we will be meeting at least once more before April 13th, said Downs Village Attorney Dawn Wall. That's D-A-W-N-W-A-L-L. Both sides are working cordially and are motivated to work this out. Construction of the 4,800-square-foot church is expected to be completed by early summer, Moore said. In addition to a worship center, the site will also include a community garden, park, and playground area. Our idea is to make this somewhat of a community center, he said. You won't have to be a member of our church to come here. We will have playground equipment, and we think it will be a very nice addition to Downs. That completes that article. All right, next, let's take a moment to read the area calendar for 3/17/17. On Saturday, reservations taken, Ewing Manor Tours, 10 a.m., 11 a.m., noon, and 1 p.m. April 8th, Ewing Cultural Center in Bloomington. Tours last 2 hours and require walking and stairs. Space is limited. $20, and the phone number is area code 309-438-6333. Pancake and Sausage Breakfast, 6 to 10 a.m. Saturday at Schneider School Cafeteria, Farmer City. Hosts are the BRHS Key Club and Kiwanis Club of Farmer City. Benefits go to the community service projects, and the cost is $3 to $5. Coffee with the Normal Council Open House, 9 to 10:30 a.m. Saturday at the Community Activity Center, 1110 Douglas Street, Normal, with Council Members R.C. McBride and Kathleen Lorenz. Flanagan Lions Club Community Sale, 9:30 a.m. Saturday, Main Street in Flanagan. Benefits, summer recreational program for youth and other community services. Ribeye steak, oysters, and a walleye dinner, 5 p.m. Saturday, Waynesville American Legion, $13 to $20, and it is by the Sons of the American Legion. Carryout is available at area code 217-949-3301. Next, we have two more Garth Brooks shows added at the University of Illinois out of Champaign. Two more shows have been added to the U of I State Farm Center's Stand for Country Superstar Garth Brooks, in addition to the previously announced 7 p.m. April 28th and 7:30 p.m. April 29th dates. Brooks and his wife Trisha Yearwood will perform at a 3 p.m. matinee April 29th and another evening show at 7:30 p.m. on April 30th. All four shows went on sale Thursday by phone at area code 844-442-7842. That was 844-442-7842. And online at statefarmcenter.com/Garth. No sales are being conducted at the State Farm Center box office or its outlets. Brooks' epic four-show stand is one of the longest ever for a solo performer at a Central Illinois arena-style venue. When the initial ticket release began a week ago, on the morning of March 10th, the system promptly crashed and the sales were suspended by what was billed as unprecedented and extraordinary fan support. Earlier this week, Peak, P-I-G-U-E, said that plenty of tickets are still available for all shows. Seats are priced at $65.98, not including fees and service charges. All right, next we're going to move to Lincoln meth maker sentenced to 12 years. This is out of Lincoln. A Lincoln man who purchased the cold medicine used by another person to produce methamphetamine has been sentenced to 12 years in prison for unlawful meth conspiracy. Skyler Dyer, D-Y-E-R, 22, pleaded guilty to the charge stemming from his January 14th arrest by the Lincoln police. Officers stopped a second suspect, Donald Sturgeon, S-T-U-R-G-E-O-N, after he tossed a vial of meth during a foot pursuit. Sturgeon, 30, was carrying more than 30 grams of pseudoephedrine. An active meth lab was found inside a home at the 1000 block of 7th Street, Lincoln, where Sturgeon was staying. During the drug investigation, police determined that Dyer was providing the pseudoephedrine used to produce the meth. Sturgeon is serving 45 years for possession and manufacture of meth. In a statement related to Dyer's sentencing, Logan County State's Attorney Jonathan Wright said the prison term reflects that there are serious consequences not only for manufacturing methamphetamine, but also in conspiring to assist in the manufacture of this dangerous and destructive drug. And that completes that segment. All right, let's do a little bit of cheers and jeers from the editorial section. The first one will be cheers. And happy St. Patrick's Day. May there always be work for your hands to do. May you pursue always a May you pursue always hold a coin or two. May the sun always shine on your window pane. May a rainbow be certain to follow each rain. May the hand of a friend always be near you, and may God fill your heart with gladness to cheer you. The Sharon of the Green Parade steps off at 1 p.m. Saturday in Uptown Normal. Dust off your green tie and your leprechaun shoes, dye your beard red, and dance around Uptown Circle. Cheers to the Bloomington Fire Department and residents and businesses of Bloomington for their shared work in reducing the number of fire calls within the city during 2016. While there were 138 fewer fire calls in Bloomington than last year, than the 2,625 fire calls in 2015, the resulting property loss rose by about $1.7 million. Last year's fire calls included 83 structure fires compared to 110 structure fires the previous year. Cheers to the organizers of last week's International Women's Day rally and an anti-hate rally. Hundreds of people showed up at both events to show their support for women's rights and respect for all our neighbors. At the government level, the Twin Cities have been publicly at odds for the last few weeks. It's good to know that the citizenry of both Normal and Bloomington can put aside differences to show their support for members of our communities. Both mayors and county government leaders participated also. Our communities have so much to give. We need to remember that. Jeers to the state of Illinois for the clerical error that mistakenly had part of Deputy Governor Leslie Munger's salary paid from a pool of insurance premiums that feed the group health insurance account. Governor Rauner says it was a mistake and we'll take his word. But during these years of budgetary problems, it's crucial that our state workers triple-check their work on such items to make sure Illinois won't be in even worse shape, or that its leaders will have another black mark against their names. The other half of Munger's salary will be paid from federal money the state receives for human services, the Associated Press reported. Cheers to Mayor Terry Renner for rethinking his plan for the City Liquor Commission. The commission used to have three members, the mayor and two appointees. Renner changed that in recent months so that he would lead the one-person commission. He now has decided to resume having a commission with two appointees in addition to himself. In a city the size of Bloomington, the Liquor Commission has too many duties for the work to fall on one person. Having multiple people on the commission also lessens the possibility of anyone saying a decision was made solely for personal reasons. Now, a few letters to the editor. This one was written by Rick Smith from Normal. And it is titled, With Rights Come Responsibilities. I am a military veteran, as are millions and millions of my brothers, and to a much lesser extent, my sisters. I'm proud of all of them. I wholeheartedly support equal pay for equal work. As a retired professional, under contract when working, Women and men received exactly the same pay and benefits, given the same levels of training and experience. It was perfect. As women again march for their rights, I'm somewhat surprised, though only minimally so, that women have not demanded, and in a very loud voice, the requirement that they also register for selective service, the military draft, within days of their 18th birthday. The Equal Rights Amendment of 1972 failed, even after a 3-year extension to 1982, because a certain portion of women felt the amendment would disadvantage them. How would equality disadvantage anyone except those who felt they already had an advantage? Opponents of registering for the draft would cry that we should not have war, but the reality is that war, unfortunately, always exists and always will. Should the need to conscript citizens into military service arise again, women should be required to leave their homes and families as men are and serve equally. When the marchers begin to demand that level of equality, they'll have demonstrated an understanding that the observe side of rights is responsibility. Again, that was submitted by Rick Smith out of Normal. Next letter to the editor was submitted by Rick Skelly out of Bloomington and is titled Talking to Russians is Risky Today. I was sound asleep and suddenly awoke, realizing I was feeling very guilty about something. What could it be? Oh my gosh, I now know what I did. I was recently on a cruise and was conducting business at a shop on board and remembered that the proprietor stated she was a recent immigrant from Russia. I actually spoke to her on several occasions while conducting a jewelry transaction. As we all know, speaking to Russians these days is ill-advised and risky. I think it will go easier on me if I just turn myself in and admit what I did. How could I have been so stupid? Oh well, can someone please direct me to the appropriate Democratic Party official or liberal press representative that can assist me with the punishment process? Do you think I need an attorney? Will I be banned from politics? Again, this was submitted by Rick Skelly out of Bloomington. And our next letter is Normal Township Supervisor Title, and it was submitted by Rebecca Rossi, R-O-S-S-I, of Normal. Sarah Grammer will bring energy and a fresh perspective to the Normal Township Supervisor position. She has immersed herself in community service during her time in Normal, serving on the Normal Public Library Board of Trustees and as an active member of many communities, including the League of Women Voters. As her colleague on the NPL Board of Trustees, I have witnessed Sarah's commitment to collaboration firsthand. I've also had the opportunity to participate in challenging conversations, lively strategy sessions, and detailed financial discussions with Sarah. I am always impressed with her attention to detail in the proposals we review and her careful consideration of any issue at hand. She asks good questions, listens to varied perspectives, and then makes her best decision, always placing community needs at the fore. I will be voting for Sarah on April 4th, and I hope you will join me. Again, submitted by Rebecca Rossi at Normal. This will conclude our reading of Part 1 of the Bloomington Normal Pantograph, dated March 17, 2017. It's been a pleasure to read to you, and I hope that you will join me again. Thank you.